Amen. We always thank God for sending the right people at the right time. Amen. Amen. Without any further delay, we're going to go right ahead. We do have a word from the Lord.
Amen.
We're always amazed at how the weatherman spooks everybody every Saturday evening with a threat of bad weather. And so a lot of people won't go to church. Amen. They hear about the bad weather and it spooks them out. Amen. But I always say, at where I work, as you all know, when the weather's bad, that's when they want you in. And so I've been doing that for 30 years, so it doesn't faze me if I hear a bad weather report.
All right.
And they've been giving you a bad report anyway, telling you there's global warming and all kinds of other stuff. They want you to be scared of that too. I think God said, well, here's about 20 feet of snow this year. Tell me what's up with that. He gave them about 20 feet of snow and been freezing everybody all winter here. So he'll let you see, you know, you think it's global warming now, wait till he warms. There's going to be some global warming, but it's not right now. Mess around and go in your box without Jesus. That's when you'll find out what global warming is. Amen. Lord said that the earth's not going to be destroyed with water anymore, but it's going to be burned up with fervent heat. So there will be some global warming, but it's not being caused by your ozone layer being depleted. Amen. You got some ozone in your spirit that needs to be turned over to Jesus. Amen. Talking about a black hole. Yes, there is a black hole in your heart. And it needs to be filled with the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's right,
man. Amen. But in either case, we're going to go right ahead. We'll leave that one alone. I'll get off my soapbox.
That's all right.
Amen. But in either case, we have been working through the epistle to the Romans from the Apostle Paul. And today we come to chapter number 14. And we have been progressing our way through the entire book. For those of you who may not be aware, the rest of the lessons can be found online at sttmbc.org or at the website at the bottom of your handout that you happen to have there. If you ever want to go back and go over those previous lessons that you may not have been here for, they are online to be heard anywhere on planet Earth or in space if you happen to have an internet connection. I don't know how many folks are in space, but I think they are online. They're right up there with the satellite. So if they happen to hear this and you want to know about Christ, tune in. Amen.
Amen.
So in either case, we're going to go put in here today in chapter 14. And we have a few verses from the New Testament book written by the Apostle Paul. And chapter 14 is a very, very special chapter. And you'll see that as we get into it. We're going to have a reading from the Old Testament, also from the book of the Psalms, number 78, the first 8 verses, and also the New Testament book of Romans, chapter number 14, verses 1 to 9. And sometimes these lessons overlap, so if you did miss one and you want to go back and bone up on the previous lesson, then by all means, we invite you to do that. Amen. For today, we'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of the Psalm number 78. Our deacons will conduct the reading for us today, and also from Romans 14 from the New Testament, the first 9 verses. Now today I want to just mention I did insert the New American Standard translation for the Romans passage just because it's a little easier to understand in a cursory reading just to read it in one pass. Amen. So let us hear Psalms number 78 first. Amen.
My shield of Asaph.
Mm-hmm.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline my ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
Amen, amen. That is the Old Covenant reading. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His holy word. And now for the New Testament scripture reading of Romans 14, 1 to 9.
Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Mm. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord does so for the Lord. Wait a minute. He skipped something.
And he who eats okay. not.
He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats, he does not eat.
Does so.
Okay, my eyes are really
okay.
Go ahead.
No, I don't have a same
okay.
Does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God.
I got it. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord.
Yes.
My Lord.
Yes.
For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living.
Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
All of us, some of us, I'm not going to say all, but all of us in this vintage have to have this second set of eyeballs. It might be a little rough sometimes. Amen. That's why we try to make these in kind of big print to help with that, so it's not so big of a deal. But sometimes even then, you might be between prescriptions. Amen. But we give praise to the Lord for these verses, and we're going to talk briefly today about applying grace for building others' faith.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Applying grace for building others' faith. Okay, and that's a responsibility. This is kind of like a housekeeping chapter in Romans. It's talking about something in-house that we have to do as saints. We know that God calls people, whoever they are, from wherever they are, and you don't have to have a degree, you don't have to have any kind of a necessarily any education whatsoever.
All right.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to serve and worship God. You don't have to have any particular credentials to be in the family of God. So there's people of every stripe who are accepted by God, and that's all done on the basis of the gospel, that good news that we call the gospel, that, and it's simply put in these 25 words penned by John, just to make it quick, that were also in your bulletin today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means anybody, doesn't make any difference, there's no qualifications to that, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
So Jesus came on a mission of salvation, and you and I have to be careful, because sometimes there are different people in different walks of life, and we all come together. The church is the place where the family all meets together.
Yes.
And so we have to realize it is the purpose of God to build the faith of every person who he calls. calls. Did you know that you wouldn't come to God at all if he did not call you? That's one thing that you have to understand. A lot of people say, oh, I found the Lord. And no, the Lord has never been lost. The Lord found you. And he called you. And the Bible says, as many as he called, those are the ones he chose. And we come to him because, it even says this, that we love him because he first loved us. See, so he loved us when we were in our sin, minding our own business, going on through the world like a dead fish floating downstream, you know, doing whatever we wanted. And God got your attention.
Yes, he did.
By his grace and his mercy, and he told you to come in. Somehow he connected you with the church. He does this through the gospel, the message that he loves you just like you are. You don't have to change anything except your mind. Turn around. We call that repentance. Turn around from doing it your way and start doing it God's way. Turn your life over to God. Allow him to lead you and guide you to all truth. That's his good pleasure. So he accepts people no matter who they are. We have to learn to be like that. We were talking about it this morning in Sunday school. How do we, now we become agents of grace. God has given us grace. What is grace? Somebody put it this way, using grace as an acronym, they say it's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the word grace. See? And that's what we all receive. It's not that we earned it or we deserved it. God poured out his riches on us at Christ's expense. He allowed his son to pay the debt. The bill that we owe, no matter what that is, no matter how great that debt is. Speaking for myself, I say, you know, I wonder, did I bankrupt the vault of grace when he saved me? I look back and see the kind of things that I was involved in. And not only then, but even now, I can't say that my life is absolutely a shining, perfect example. I'm a lot better than I used to be.
Yes.
And I'm getting better day by day. And that is the focal point of my life now, to aim my life at being like Christ.
That's right.
And so therefore I am getting better, but I don't have any illusion that I have arrived already.
Amen.
And so that's what this text really deals with. It's talking about people who are in the process of being sanctified. Wow. Now think about this. Salvation happens in three phases. Let's say that God, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, right, verse 4, he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. Now how many of us were here then at the foundation of the world? Not a soul, right? See, so it was his plan in eternity to save those who were lost. Okay? And so it says, those whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. See? So God chose you in eternity, and at some moment in time, he had already predestined that you would be saved if you are saved today. And so at some moment, he woke you up out of the stupor of death. Do you realize when you were born in the world, the Bible says we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity? You know, we don't even, we're hopeless at that point because we're dead in our trespasses and sin. But God quickened you. That's what it means to make you alive. He loved you. He wants you all to be saved. At some moment in your life, he caused you to understand that. And he does it through the gospel. That's what he says. That the gospel itself, the good news that God loves you just like you are, is the power of God unto salvation. That's why I worry about people when they start talking about their methods and their techniques of getting people saved. Your methods and your techniques are zero. God gets all the credit for whoever's saved. You know, your techniques, your delivery, and your method of preaching, all that, if anything, you could mess it up. But you can't make it happen. God is the one who makes it happen. You know, so if you give any credit, that's why we sing that song, every praise is to our God. See, every word of worship on one accord is to our God. Because he's the only one who deserves the credit. But we have people usurping that authority and that credit today all over the world, and you hear it. But the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it's just like if you went to a restaurant, I'm just the delivery boy, I'm bringing you the meal, I didn't cook it. Somebody in the back who knows how to cooked it. And I'm just bringing you the meal, putting it on your table. So we should see ourselves as nothing but servants. That's what Paul said. He says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Only servants by whom you believe. So all we do is deliver the message of God's grace, that he loves you just like you are. And God will, if he's chosen you, you will respond. If you are chosen for salvation, you will respond to the gospel. And that is that if you come right now, God says that he will save you from all your sin.
Yes, he will.
Everything you have ever done. And think about this. That's what we talk talked about the pre-state is God choosing you in eternity past, predestining you to be saved. He says, for whom he did foreknow, quoting what we call the golden chain, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. And them whom he predestined, these he also called.
Yes.
Them he called, he also justified. That means he declared you not guilty. Them he justified, he also glorified.
Amen.
So God sees the work of salvation in your life as a complete work.
Yes.
Already. Because time is the thing that's temporary. God is not temporary. God is permanent. He's eternal. He's the only eternal being. And that's why Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. Because time will cease at some point. And then everything will be in eternity. And those who have trusted God will be saved. So this is totally the work of God. So what you and I have to realize is that since God had that kind of grace, he poured it out on us.
Yes.
That he wants us to be, let's call it tactful, to other people who are saved, that are in the body of Christ. We all grow at a different rate.
Yes, we do.
You know, some people grow quicker than others.
Right. Right.
Some people, it takes them a while to realize some of the things that they've been scurrying about trying to do in the body in order to be saved. They think, oh, you know, if I eat certain things, they still have dietary restrictions in their mind. And this is what Paul is using here in this particular illustration in Romans 14. So he says, and I'm going to go there first before we go to the Old Testament. Now accept the one who is weak in faith. So you're going to have different people with various levels of faith.
Yeah.
Within the church. Not everybody is going to be a diehard person that has a supernatural faith, so to speak. And think about this too. Some people are deceived and they think they have some faith and they really don't. So you got all kinds of people. You got people who think that they're making things happen and all kinds of stuff going on in the church. So we have to be careful how we act among ourselves.
Yes, we do.
And so this one says, Paul's writing here, keep this in mind. He says, now the one who is weak in faith, he says that we want to accept that one, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. Somebody's opinion may be something different than yours about some peripheral thing. Now, of course, this is not talking about doctrine. Okay, so in other words, all doctrine we want to be dogmatic about.
Oh, yes, we do.
There's only one way you can be saved. It's not questionable if Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. That is not questionable. We have to be dogmatic on those type of things. In other words, we don't have any wiggle room, but on whether you can cut your hair short or wear your short pants or some of these kind of things, as long as you're not obscene. I mean, there's limits on things, but in other words, a lot of peripheral stuff that really doesn't make a big difference in the general scope of things, and people are going to think different stuff in the church. And so Paul says here that we are to accept the one who is weak in faith. He says the fact that they have dietary restrictions might suggest that they are weak in faith, and all he means there is that they think that it's going to impair their salvation some kind of way. That this thing I'm doing is going to make me unacceptable or unsavory to God, so I'm not going to eat any swine. I heard somebody say one day. No, I used to not eat swine too at some point in my life when I thought it was something wrong with it. You know, and so I'm glad nobody bulldozed me out to church with it and said, well, you know, we eat swine in here, and you know, and come down on me, you know. But swine may have some issues with it, and people are still trying to sort through that law, and the law of God was kind of something that suggested a lot of different things, which God did in order to make his people different than the other people. The whole concept of the law, let's say that there are so many, we could probably not talk about them all, but one of the biggest reasons about the law that God gave it is because he wants his people to be separated from the rest of the people who are paying him no attention.
That was it.
And he does that so he can bless the ones who really believe me and act on what I say, because acting on his word is always going to be a benefit to you. And when you act on it, people who don't believe him are going to say, boy, look at those people. They're a little different than other people. So it causes you to be a city set up on a hill, Jesus said, that cannot be hid. It causes you to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, Paul told the Colossians. And so it makes you different. Doesn't make you better, but it does make you where people have to say, boy, something about that Fernandez, man. Trouble comes and he looks like he can handle it better than me. Man, I might want to go talk to you, ask you, what is that that's keeping you where you're not coming undone all you've been through?
Right.
And now it gives you a chance to say, well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ blessed me and he brought me through. And so it just draws people to you. Yes. God wants people to be drawn to his people for the purpose of reaching them for him.
That's right.
So we have to keep that in mind. So when people have an odd opinion about something that's not crucial, that's not doctrinal, you know, certain things we don't compromise at all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. That's not compromisable.
That's right.
If somebody tells you, well, Buddha might be able to get you in, no, no, no. Because that will make Jesus a liar. If Buddha can get you in, Jesus lied. And he can't be your Savior at all. So it can't be any sharing of who can get you into heaven. Certain things are written in stone, so to speak. But other stuff, peripheral things in the church, basically are somewhat, we don't have to take them and nail people down to a particular thing. So salvation is attained and maintained by just a little faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't take much. Jesus said if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would obey you. He says a little faith is all you need. Remember so many times the disciples were in a situation and they started to fret. And Jesus took care of it in about 2 seconds, like he stilled the storm, said, peace be still. Y'all done woke me up for this. I'm down here sleeping and you telling me, oh, we're going to perish, don't you care? And he got up and said, peace be still, and went back to sleep. Like, what? And then they were more scared because they had God in the boat. And he said, why did you perish? Why did you fret, oh, ye of little faith? And he went on back to sleep. Like, wow, boy, that blew him away, you know. So he was constantly showing them, I got this. I got your back. You can trust me.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about, oh, is the boat going there? How can it go down if I'm in here?
That's right.
You see, they should never have even went there in their minds. But they were fearful. And so there were times when they were fearful. It's about 5 times you'll find recorded in the New Testament that Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, oh, ye have little faith. It's like, I can't believe you don't have enough faith to understand this. And so sometimes we have to realize that salvation is given by just a little faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's not hard.
Amen.
Although it'll be the best thing you ever did is to trust Christ.
Oh, yes, it will.
And believe in him that he died and was buried and rose from the dead after 3 days and nights, which we call the gospel, and is now seated at the right hand of God making intercession for, I like to say, for me. He's seated there making intercession for me. If you know him, you can say that too. You see, and we understand that. And that is the gospel. That's the good news that the scriptures teach. The law and the prophets give witness to the fact that God gave his son so that whoever believes in him should not perish. Now, I'm not saying the saved life is easy.
That's right.
It's the most difficult thing you have to do. Just get up every day and say, I'm going to walk for God today. See, I'm going to walk in Christ today. Just say that. Challenge yourself. You do it every day, whether you want to or not.
Right.
You don't have any choice. If you're saying you're saved, you got to go into the world and you are representing Christ, whether you know it or not. You are a living epistle, Paul said, known and read by all men. Everybody knows what your claim is. Sometimes we might try to be closet Christians. We don't want you to know right now because I'm over here where I shouldn't be. You know, and you might be getting convicted about where you are. You know, and maybe you shouldn't be there. Maybe if you feel that way, you need to say, let me not go there anymore, you know. So allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and keep you moving forward. But salvation is a good thing. It's the best thing you've ever had. It's God's message to all the world, no more, no less. Therefore, there are many who are saved who still do not fully understand the simplicity of the gospel and their need to be nurtured by those with a proper understanding of non-legalistic yet growing faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We don't want to be legalistic where we tell people if you don't do this or that or the other. Sometimes people make rules. We try to make a bunch of rules and we're just going to make these rules, and if you do the 10 rules, then you're okay.
Right.
No. So we have to be careful what we do. We don't want to drive people away from Christ.
Right.
If Christ has accepted them, why do you have a higher standard than he does? That's the whole idea. If he accepted them, how can your standard be higher than his?
That's right.
And so that's what Paul is warning about. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Then he gives an example. One person who has faith that he might eat all things, because he knows the Bible says that God made all these things. Every creature of God is good and is sanctified by the word of God in prayer, it says. Some people know that and they take that to heart and they'll say, okay, I'll take a piece of swine. Now, I don't eat swine now only because it's not good for my health. I love it, but I would love to eat a bacon sandwich right about now. But the bacon sandwich will have my blood pressure at 175 in about 5 minutes after I eat it. So I don't eat it for that reason.
All right.
But there was a time in my life I shunned it with no real reason why. Somebody just told me it was not good. And so somebody had said, well, we're going to throw you out if you start eating it. Then that might have been too harsh of a judgment. Because eventually, once I got to where I saw in the Word, it's okay. God says this is okay. I was all right with it. And I did actually have a bologna sandwich at that point. After I got to the point where I understood, all right, it's all right. Then I found out it raises my blood pressure. So I said, well, I might leave it alone again. And so you have to allow God to minister to people as they grow on issues that are not essential, if you will. Somebody said essential things, we want to have unity. And peripheral things, we want to have at least harmony where we can kind of, you know, get along and we can edge a little here or there because this is not really that important. And certain things, churches have split over all kinds of stuff. Well, we want red pews versus blue. And they fall out about stuff that's totally peripheral, has nothing to do with salvation, you know, and stuff of that sort. So we want to leave that kind of stuff alone and accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions.
Amen.
So he said one person will eat, and whoever it is who eats, he eats to the Lord. He gives thanks. The one who doesn't eat says, I'm fasting to the Lord, and he gives thanks. So both of them are okay. Leave them both alone, let them do their thing. And so he's saying, watch out what you do, because it's possible that you can sin or make your brother sin by trying to be too critical about something that's not that important. And so look at those things. Basically, God will give you good judgment as you go along.
Amen.
Now, the purpose of this and the reason I put this Psalm 78 here, I want to connect this in now, is that through the years of the Jews, God had taught them things so that they could be a separated people for his purposes. And it's a good thing to be a separated people.
Yes, it is.
Because what it's going to do is it's going to keep you out of trouble.
Amen. Amen. Yes,
it's going to keep you from getting involved in stuff that you really don't need to be involved in. And so faith has always been intended by God to be passed down from generation to generation through every family.
Yes.
And his law was a set of rules, and basically it was a means of separation for God's people from the rest of mankind who ignore God's truth and goes his own way. And all the Gentiles chose to do so, being ignorant of God's standards. They didn't have a standard, but God never shunned a Gentile at all, even when he was accepting the Jews. Did you know that? Think through this. How about when they got to Jericho, there was a harlot, a Gentile prostitute named Rahab. She heard about God's people and how God was giving them victory. She believed. Guess what? She got saved. Didn't make any difference that she was a harlot.
That's right.
Didn't make any difference that she was a Gentile.
That's right.
When Naomi went down and sojourned in the land of Moab and lost her husband and her sons, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, heard about her God, latched on to her, and went back home with her and became adopted into the body of Christ. Even though she was a Moabitess or Moabitess, as some people like to say, you know, and they were people who didn't really know God. So you'll see it all through the Bible. If you just look, you'll find out Bathsheba, who was Uriah the Hittite's wife, ended up marrying in, and she came in through some very, very treacherous means. But she got into the family of God, and it was all by faith. We could look at Tamar. We could go on and on. Naaman the Assyrian. We can go all back through the Old Testament. I can show you all kinds of Gentiles that got saved. So it never was really a measure that you had to be a Jew. You just had to believe God.
That's it.
The whole time.
Amen.
Before the Jews existed, the Bible says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham, who was a Chaldean Gentile, believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. You see that? So faith in God has always been the way that people have been saved. And Christ has been the only Savior that God has looked to for that salvation that was represented by the sacrificial system throughout all those years. And that's why when Jesus was crucified, the Bible says the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, because God opened up the way to the most holy place, and it was now by a new and living way through his Son, Jesus Christ. So you and I have to be careful. But here in the Psalm, what I want you to see is that connectivity. How, and I will say this, some of us here were raised in a godly family. And you had your parents, your grandparents. They knew the Lord. They passed it down to you. If that's the case, then you may not really might not understand some of this what Paul is saying. Because sometimes we get stuck in a bunch of things that we've always been taught, that we've always known. And sometimes it's harder for us to realize that we have to accept people who come in. Some people didn't have that advantage.
Yes.
Some people came out of the gutters, off the street.
Mm-hmm.
Some people came out of a scattered, broken home and didn't have people to raise them in Christ.
Amen.
And so these type of things have to be considered. But notice what God's method was here. In the Maskil of Asaph, he says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And this is what we all need to do all the time. I will open my mouth in a parable. God says parables are to reveal things to believers and to conceal them from people who do not believe.
Yes. Amen.
That's why he uses parables. He tells us that also in the New Testament. I will utter dark sayings of old, which he says here, I will open my mouth in a parable and utter dark sayings of old. These are things that have been concealed. God always conceals things from people who do not believe, but he reveals things to people who do believe.
Yes.
Now he says, notice this, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. That was his plan, to pass the knowledge of God down from generation to generation. We will not hide them from their children. See that? And he says here, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. That's when you're using your tongue properly, and the highest use of the tongue is to praise God.
Yes.
And his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. See that? You talk about the goodness and the things that God has done, giving him credit instead of some nebulous big primordial soup that blew into a thousand things. They want to give science credit for something rather than God in our time.
Yes.
For he established a testimony. See, God has a witness, in other words, in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. See that?
Yes.
He wants you talking about him to the next generation.
Amen.
And even the next, that the generation to come might know them, and even the children which should be born and who should arise and declare them to their children. Keep it passing on down from generation to generation, that they might set their hope in God.
Yes.
And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers. There was some rebellious folks who didn't trust God in the past. You may have had some in your family.
Amen.
He said, don't be like them, but be like those who keep passing it on.
Yes.
A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast in God. That's the whole thing. We want to be the kind of people who keep our spirit steadfast in God.
Yes. Amen.
Keep on passing it on to another generation. You know what? It won't be long. Time is winding up.
Oh,
you can start seeing what God has promised in the Word about how the world will be. And we have a message about that to preach at New Prospect if we don't get snowed out. But right now, I want you to know that there's a lot of things. If you start looking at the Word, God turns on the light in your mind so you can see that what he's saying is coming to pass.
Amen. Yes,
you see it every day. It starts to get closer and closer.
Oh, yes.
More and more of what God said of how things are going to be in the latter days are coming to pass right now. You see people now talking about all kinds of things that are ungodly, and as we said, they try to legalize it, first of all, then that way they don't have to feel guilty about it.
Uh-huh.
And then they want to moralize it and say it's a problem if you think there's anything wrong with this.
Yes.
And so that's the kind of thing that's going on. So we won't get caught up in that if we stay in the Word.
Amen.
But we have to be careful, like I said, about those who are actually saved, because we are members of the body of Christ. And if we have a mature understanding of the simplicity of the gospel, and we are required to make adjustments to aid and support other members who have a weaker faith.
Yes.
And to assist them in their nurturing and development into a deeper and more mature understanding of the depths of God's perfect love, which casts out fear and operates from the essence of who God is versus being driven by any form of human works.
Yes.
In other words, salvation has nothing to do with human works. The only human works that are required for salvation were done by God the Son in the flesh.
All by Jesus.
He took on flesh in order to bear the sins of whosoever believes in him.
My Lord.
And he was crucified. He took our sins in his body on the cross.
Yes.
Which he predicted that would happen. And he knew how ugly sin was and what man would do. That there would come a time when, even though he came into the world himself to deal with the problem of sin, you could see the ignorance that people had. They were so ignorant they didn't realize this is God's Son. We found him guilty and nailed him to a cross. Lifted him up between heaven and earth. Spit on him, mocked him, ridiculed him, stripped his clothes off of him, shamed tamed him any possible way we could. This is the result of the fallen mind doing what it wants to do. And we're going to see more and more of that kind of ugliness in the latter days as things escalate. And the hostility will be against those who trust Christ. Mm-hmm. So the church needs to be prepared. And but realize within the church, you know, we don't want to shoot each other down. We're all here together. We're in here for the same cause. We all love God. We trust him. And basically, we don't want to run each other away with foolishness and stuff that's not important. So we have to realize that. That's why Paul goes on to say in verse 4 of Romans 14, who are you to judge the servant of another? How did you get where you can tell God who he calls and why? Yes. We have episodes of this. We've seen some here recently in our own church. Uh-huh. To his own master he stands or falls, Paul says, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. See that? So God is able to make someone you may not think somebody can stand, but God is able to make them stand.
He's able.
He says one person regards one day above another. Uh-huh. Another regards every day alike. Every person must be fully persuaded in his own mind. So that's why we teach. That's why we recommend you come out and understand the word, so we'll help you understand what God said on a subject. So you can form your opinions based on what the Bible says, not on human opinion.
Yes.
Not on what the world thinks is good or right. Not on what the preachers of LA or any of these kind of things we're seeing out here think. We want to know what did God say. Does the Bible say anything about these subjects? You know, and we want to get in there. And the answer is yes, it does. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you're feeding on the truth all the time, that you don't just take public opinion and what's popular.
Amen.
But you also don't want to overjudge people who are in the church because God called them. You didn't.
Yes.
And so it's not for us to do that. So each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks unto God. He who does not eat does it to the Lord, and he does not eat and give thanks to the Lord. For not one of us lives to himself. We're all in this together, we could say. And not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live unto the Lord. Or if we die, we die unto the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living.
Yes.
Amen. So we are privileged to present the gospel because it is through that message that people are saved.
Yes.
That alone. Nothing else saves anyone.
Nothing else.
See? But God loves you. That's why he gave his only begotten son. Amen. So we're here today to invite you to be a part of the body of Christ. We'd like to have you be a member with us.
Amen.
And this is a small part of the bigger church, which is all over the world. All those who believe and trust in the name of Jesus Christ are in one family. And so we want to learn how we can be more able to build up one another instead of run people out. You know, a lot of times we have issues with that.
Amen.
And people say, you got all kinds of stuff out of it. We don't even have time to attack it all. Our time's about gone. But you got folks saying, well, if you don't speak in tongues.
Right.
Well, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, as though the preacher, what he does, saves you. That's not it.
Amen.
God is the only one who can save you.
Amen.
And he loves you just like you are. He will take you right now.
Yes.
And the problem is never on his end. If you have not accepted him, that's on your end.
Right.
The good news is he loves you. He takes you right now. And whatever issues you have, he takes you with the issues.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he will fix the issues.
Yes.
He'll make them the way he wants them to be. And we're here to love you into whatever he wants you to be. That's why we're here. Amen. So it's my privilege as pastor to give you an opportunity, if you would like to be a member here with us, to come at this time. And if you are not saved, you may come at this time. Either way, if you just want to put your swords in the same direction with us and help us to get the good news out to the world, we invite you to come at this time. And we thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. So let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Sing that one more time.
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen.
Amen. like to remind people, just think about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. What that did, that's the most powerful thing, because Jesus took that death. And because the Bible says the wages for sin is what? Is death. So he received the wages. Who owed the wages? Me.
That's right.
They were my wages. He didn't deserve them. He hadn't done any sin. But he received the wages for sin, which is death, in order that he might give you the gift of God, which is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not an amount of time, but it is a quality of life. It is a relationship. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is knowing Christ yourself. And that starts now. It doesn't happen when you die. It happens when you believe. See? Because everybody's going to be around forever in the sense of time. But you either be with Christ or you'll be separated from Christ. Amen. So we see that there are none, but yet there is room. We thank God. We just want to give you the opportunity. We would not like to have you come in and say that you didn't get a chance to publicly accept Christ. And we're always looking for members to help, because God sends who he wants and connects you to the body of Christ wherever he wants you to fit. And so we give you that opportunity. Also, we want to thank God for Sister Serena, who's back with the family today. And amen. Amen. And once again, all the other visitors who are here, we do thank God for your presence today. We hope you got a good thought from the message. And we will be continuing, Lord willing, on next week in Romans as we continue through the book. Amen. And if you're able, today we're going to be at 1500 I Street in East St. Louis, Illinois, under the pastor Spencer Bartlett at the New Prospect MB Church. Amen. We've been invited for their Men and Women's Day. Amen. So if you're able, we'd like to invite you there. I don't know what the weather's doing. I guess I, in some sense, don't care.